It's time for What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.
Morena, Nicola. How are you this morning?
Morena. I'm very well, thank you.
It's good to have you on the show. We have had you on the breakfast show before, but not in your new, well, it's not that new now, role as Deputy Leader of the Opposition. So welcome. It's really good to have you here. I think as it is our sort of first proper chat with you, we better have a bit of a kōrero about some of the portfolios you hold before we get stuck into some, topics of the day. You're on the Select Committee for Intelligence and Security. You're also the party spokesperson for Housing and Social Investment. Now, those are two pretty, heavy in the media, heavier in the news cycle topics at the moment, particularly housing right now. We're seeing quite a lot of conversation about how that is tracking. And we know for our listenership that that is a big concern. What's your main goal within this spokesperson role that you're trying to achieve through this time at the moment?
Hey, well, thanks so much. It's great to be on the FM. I always enjoy coming on the show and really looking forward to being able to speak with your listeners. Look, housing is critically important. I think we all know that. It's the biggest cost of living for most of us, and it's actually essential to our sense of well-being and I think our aspirations. So what I want to achieve in that housing portfolio is try and make housing more accessible and more affordable for more New Zealanders, and fundamentally ensure more of us can see a realistic pathway to owning a home. Because what I worry about is that increasingly younger New Zealanders just look at how expensive prices are compared to incomes and they go, look, that's just too hard. I'm giving up. I'm never going to own my own home. And I really worry about what that means for our country, people's sense of community and their sense of having a stake in a house and being able to have a stake in our economy. So those are the things that we have to resolve. And right now, it's really tough for people. You know, rents have skyrocketed. They've gone up $50 on average a week in the past year alone, which, by the way, is the fastest increase in rent for so long as the records go. And we've also seen that house prices have shot up. You know, they've gone up $400,000 since Labor came to power. So there's some big structural issues in the housing area that have to be resolved.
They are massive structural issues. What's the National Party's plan to tackle that if you are in Parliament? What would that look like for you guys?
Well, the first thing that we've done is we've actually reached across the House. We think this is such an important issue that we actually worked with the government last year on a piece of legislation, which was initially our idea to make it much easier to build homes in our big cities. The Housing Supply Bill will mean that people can build townhouses and denser apartment buildings in much larger parts of our cities. And we think that's a good thing, because if you make it easier to build houses and you increase the supply of them, there's more competition in the market. That's very positive. We also think it's really important to keep the costs off renters as much as you can, because today's renters are the people we want buying houses tomorrow. And it's very difficult to save a deposit for a house if you're paying exorbitant amounts of rent.
So how do we make sure that the cost isn't ending up on renters? Because we've seen, I mean, historically and at the moment, that is something that there's often a loophole that people find a way to get around that ends up ending on the renters paying more money. How do we prevent that from continuing to happen?
Well, actually, we've got to listen to the experts. And last year, when the government found itself in a real pickle with housing prices going through the roof, with KiwiBuild not having delivered and with people very upset about housing, they went for some desperate measures, and that was their changes in the tax treatment of rental properties. Now, they were advised at the time, if you do this, the problem is you're going to make it more expensive for tenants. They'll end up paying the price of the increased costs you're putting on landlords, and actually some landlords will sell up. You'll reduce the supply of rental properties and you'll end up with more people pushed out of the private rental market into emergency housing onto the state house waiting list. Now, that was dark advice. The government ignored it. It's exactly what's happened. As I said earlier, we've seen these massive rent increases. We've seen thousands more people on the state house waiting list. We're seeing lots more people needing emergency housing. And you can trace it back to those policy changes.
Do we need more regulation then about how private landlords are able to conduct, I guess, rent raises, and also situations that we have seen, as you've just mentioned, play out across the course of the pandemic? How do we stop it being such a competitive space? Is this something that National would think of bringing in as some sort of, I guess, curtailing effect on landlords' abilities to do that?
Look, ultimately what we want to see is a situation where landlords are competing for tenants rather than what's so often the case right now, which is tenants competing for a landlord, literally in a long queue to try and get an apartment or try and get a flat. It shouldn't be that way. So we propose measures to increase the number of rental properties. And one of those that I'm championing is what I call build to rent. And I've got a bill that would achieve this. So if you look around the world, listeners will be aware that in Europe and elsewhere, you can get a permanent rental property with security of tenure much more easily. People stay in their rentals for years and years. That market hasn't really developed here in New Zealand. And what investors tell us is that they would be quite prepared to build purpose-built high-quality rental accommodation with security of tenure, but there's some kinks in our law at the moment that put people off them. So I put forward a bill to bring on more of that build-to-rent housing. I think that would go a long way to making it a more competitive market in New Zealand.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about the cost of living conversation that we're hearing at the moment that Christopher Luxon was also speaking about last week, but I think we should talk about Simon Bridges first because that was big news yesterday. Simon Bridges has announced he will be resigning from politics. This is going to be quite significant for the National Party. We're going to see a by-election in Tauranga now. Are you disappointed that Simon Bridges has resigned and is causing this flow-on effect of the by-election at the moment?
Look, I'll be really sad to see Simon go. He's been an incredible member of our team, 14 years as a Member of Parliament, huge experience, and very clearly so talented. At the same time, I am happy for him. You know, there is a life outside politics, and in Simon's case, he's got three adorable kids, he's got a wonderful family, and I can see that, you know, he isn't one of these people who wants to be in politics for the rest of his life, and he's ready for the next chapter, so good on him. We have a team with multiple people of extreme strengths, talents, experiences, and what Christopher will announce later this morning is a slight tweaking to that team, and you'll see some new people coming through, including in that big finance role. So we'll be ready to go. We'll be presenting some fresh talent to the public, and we'll be getting on with it.
What would you say to the commentators who are suggesting that this is another example, perhaps, of some dissatisfaction within the National Party at the moment?
I just reject that completely. I think people have to understand that there are individuals who make their own decisions about their own lives, and I wish Simon really well with that. We're going to have a by-election, and that by-election, I think, is going to be a wonderful opportunity to showcase some of the differences between National and Labor in our competing visions for New Zealand and where it can go. And it's going to highlight some of the problems that are built up under this government, whether that is the soaring cost of living, whether that is the problems we have with housing, whether that's the growing crime issues we're seeing in many communities. So we're really looking forward to the opportunity to have that debate, to have it in public, to have that democratic contest.
We are also seeing commentators tipping you for the finance portfolio. Is that something that you would be interested in?
Oh, well, look, that's Chris Luxon's announcement to make who he wants in that portfolio is something that he will announce later today. I've consistently said throughout my parliamentary career that my goal is to be part of a National Party team that can form a government and change this country for the better. So I'm prepared to do whatever role assist us to do that.
Well, let's talk about the cost of living conversation a wee bit here. We did see a big speech from Christopher Luxon last week. I guess one of the major takeaways from that was the National Party would like to basically roll back all the tax cuts we've seen brought in by this current government. How is that going to assist this cost of living crisis at the moment?
Well, in two ways. The first is this. Right now, price increases are running laps around wage increases. So what you're seeing is that things are growing in price faster than wages can keep up. And that's meaning that people have a lot less money in their back pockets. It's also meaning that the government is collecting a lot more tax, billions more in tax than when they came to office. So our view is, given that, this is not the time for the finance minister to go on the biggest spend up in history, which is what he's currently planning, a $6 billion spend up at this budget. We think this is actually the time to give everyday hardworking New Zealanders a bit of their own money back through some tax relief. So we've put forward a package to achieve that. For the average wage earner, it would amount to $870 a year. For someone on $55,000, it would be more like $800 a year. So it's not going to make anyone rich, but it's an important help at a time when people are doing it tough.
Well, if it's not going to make anybody rich, it's also, you know, that money from taxes goes into things like our hospitals, which is obviously another big focus at the moment, should be a focus all the time, I guess. But, you know, what are we going to be doing to fill the gaps that need to be filled there?
Well, absolutely. Investing in a high-quality health system is critically important. So I just want to explain to you this piece about the additional funding. So right now, if we were to keep absolutely all of the funding going into our health system that we currently have, we could do that. We could also add some more in this budget and still have money left over for the package of tax reduction that National has proposed. So we've put forward a really careful plan. As I say, in this budget, Grant's planning on adding another $6 billion on top of what's already being spent, and we're saying, well, about $1.7 billion of that should go in tax reduction. Actually, that would still leave a lot of money for other things, in addition to what we already spend across the economy. So it is possible to improve the quality of public services and let Kiwis have a bit more of their own cash.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Nicola Willis. It's great to have you on the show for our first proper chat with you in this new role. We will talk to you again in a few weeks' time. Take care until then.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much.
Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.